sing to a King, Jesus Christ our Savior. Born this day, angels say, in a lowly manger, He came down to the earth, bringing us new birth. Heralds sing to the King, Jesus Christ our Savior.
When God speaks to you, do you hear Him in a voice? Does the Holy Spirit speak to you in a voice? He did me this morning, and I swear it sounded just like Anita. He even sent me a sign that said, "Read a bulletin." December 30th, Fifth Sunday Celebration. We wrap up our holiday month with a fun Christmas pajama party. Please note, no children's church or Sunday school or the traditional carry-in following the 11 a.m. service. And then in bold print, please note the time change for just this Sunday. Whoever wrote this months ago obviously forgot. So next Sunday, 11 o'clock. My wife laughed at me when I pulled up my sermon and she saw the title of the sermon. She goes, "Is that really the title of your sermon?" Stress. We've been talking about what we call the Christmas story, and I've been trying to separate fantasy from reality. We think we know what the story is versus what God intended the story to be. Years ago, I gave a Christmas quiz when we were still in Kentucky, according to the Bible, and I would say that after every question. Now, according to the Bible, and then give them multiple choice questions. And one of our church leaders always sat in the second row right up front. If his shoes were on, I knew he'd stay awake. If the shoes came off, he would fall asleep. And one of the questions was, according to the Bible, how many wise men were at the birth of Jesus? And he sat there and he literally went like this, "We three kings." Oh. And I said, according to the Bible, we've got to separate the fantasy from the reality. And we've talked about how scared Mary was and how Joseph, his mind was blown and he thought of divorce right away. And today we're talking about the stress of the journey. And have you ever traveled with a pregnant woman? I have. Okay? Thankfully, there are rest stops and bathroom gas stations, you know, all that stuff. It just, the stress of the journey and the birth itself. But here's the problem. We are used to, thank you, Hallmark movies, Christmas movies and specials. Now listen, we are so spoiled because you can't have Christmas without the video that I'm about to show you. And if you don't own it, you're going to see the most important part anyway. And every time I see it, I go, oh, Christmas. Oh, here it is. Take a look.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Up to that point in that Christmas documentary, it is absolute chaos. Christmas, blah, 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 blah. And then suddenly Christmas, but we know the truth. Christmas is more like, right? And that is really the reality of the birth of Jesus. That's what it was like. Giving birth is stressful enough, but traveling while pregnant? How do we learn to deal with the stress that seems like it's always constantly swirling around us? And what does the birth of this baby have to do with the day that comes after that, and the day that comes after that, and after that? How do we deal with it? Open up your Bibles. Open up your Bibles to the same book that Linus was talking about, Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. Good golly, we used to read this to the kids all the time. The one thing that I want you to notice about and how we deal with stress, and something that hopefully Mary and Joseph understood, is the whole issue of control. When it comes to stress in our lives, we tend to think that we're in control. And God's like, no, you're not. Right? So, here we go. Verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that the census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This is all politics, by the way. So we got the emperor. Verse 2. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. We think that we're in control of our lives. And then an oppressive government system says to the people, get up and move. We're making a rule, we're making a decree, and you have to follow it. Can anyone relate to what feels like an oppressive government system that they just kind of make their own rules, they only care about themselves, but we got to jump through the hoops? The emperor said, jump. Mary and Joseph said, we're jumping. Right? They didn't have a choice. They're not in control of their lives. We tend to think that we're 100% in control of our lives, and we're not. We are always, it seems like, jumping through hoops that we never put there in a place. Now, do not get me wrong. We have responsibilities that we have to control. We are called to be holy. That means we make choices. We kind of control those situations that allows us to make holy choices when we have to. God has said, you don't have a control over loving me and loving your neighbor. That's something that we must do, but we control the actions and the attitudes about that. Is there anything in your life that is out of your control? You can't do anything about it, but you got to jump through those hoops. It's not your choice. You don't want to. I've talked to people that had no plans of working over the holidays, and then their boss said, oh, yes, you are. We think that we're in control, and it just adds stress because we think we're in control, but we're not really in control. So what do we do? Is God in control of your life? Now, that's a different question versus, am I in control? If you were to ask me, is God in control of my life? What do you think I would tell you? Based upon your actions and your attitudes and your Facebook page, what would I say to you? What would you say back to me? Does my attitude, my actions reflect that God is in control of my life? Do you seriously think that God sat there and went, oh, I didn't see that census coming. Now I don't know what to do with Mary and Joseph. Or do you think that God was working behind the scenes through these pagan people to allow his will to be accomplished? See, I think that God is constantly working behind the scenes through people that we cannot imagine, giving us the opportunity to experience Jesus like we've never experienced him before, just like with Mary and Joseph. I doubt seriously when she's getting ready to give birth, they said, you know what? Let's go on a road trip. But God knew exactly what he was doing. He needed them there. He needed them in Bethlehem, not in Nazareth, that's where they were. He needed them in Bethlehem. But what we do is we freak out, we stress out because we think we're in control, and then the phone rings or we get the text or whatever it is, and suddenly we realize we're not. Oh, what do we do? What if we go with it thinking that God is about to surprise us, reveal himself in a way that we never expected? God is moving us to where he needs us the most. That would reduce a lot of the stress in our life and understand that it's God that's in control. So, one of the supports that helps in verses 4 and 5 are these close relationships that we desperately need. Now, hold on to this because you're thinking, I have no one. You're wrong. But let me show it to you. Verse 4. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee, told you, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, that close relationship, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. Close relationships, when it comes to stress, can be a huge help. Now, here's the difficulty. The closer the relationship, often the more stress that is generated in that relationship. Okay? I'm just saying. Now, last week, I have it on good authority that the pastor said to the pastor's wife, hey, you look really good in that sweater. Huh? Ladies? Oh, got it going on, right? What do you think the pastor's wife's response was to, hey, you look really good in that sweater? Anybody guess? Oh, did you notice the necklace I was wearing? I did not remember a necklace. I have no clue the necklace that she was wearing. And I sat there, deer in headlights, going, all I said was, you look really good in that sweater. Right, guys? We try so hard, and suddenly, stress, because I don't know what to say, right? And so she began describing the necklace to me. I mean the pastor. They began describing the necklace. And I have it on good authority that the pastor went, I have no idea what necklace she's talking about. And she just kept talking and talking. All I said was, you look really good in that sweater. Oh, my gosh. And then I'm like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a good necklace. I stress. The closer the relationship, sometimes it brings stress along with it. And that's the challenge with close relationships. We assume that the closer the relationship, the more they'll be able to help us with the stress. And I love verse 5, talking about the deep relationship that these two characters had, Mary and Joseph. And we already know the stress and the scared and all that other stuff that they went through, but they are together. They're willing to trust that God is in control of their situation. As much stress as after 30 years of marriage brings to it, my wife is also the cause of a lot of the relief of my stress. She is my sounding board. When the anxiety hits, she knows some of the signs that come with it. And she helps me talk through some of those things. And then she says, are you on your meds? You know, so she helps me with those things. Who do you have that you can lean on if your answer is no one? It's not true because you're here this morning. Now, if you haven't told us, if you haven't told someone, that's a different story. I feel no guilt when you're struggling, but you haven't told me, and then by the time you tell me, it's far too late for me to be able to help. Get involved in a Sunday school class, a small group. I am not joking about this next part. Go to therapy. I will give you a list of counselors that I trust, that we've used over the years, that you can find relief from. And they will be able to give you a perspective that no one else can, because it's a third party kind of thing. It is so important to have those close relationships that can help you in those stressful times. I swear that Mary and Joseph, as they're bouncing around, it drew them closer and not farther apart. Now, this last one in verses 6 and 7 has to do with the cloths that the baby was wrapped in. We've heard that before, right? Let me tell you how cloths will help us in stressful times. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. This is the most boring description of having birth I've ever seen. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. We've heard these words. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room for them. When Mary wraps the baby in cloths, we've heard that forever. Do you feel bad for her? Feel bad for her that's all she has are some rags to wrap her newborn, her firstborn, in just rags. And I've heard so many sermons about that and you know, humble beginnings and all that other stuff. But man, this year I'm like, why? Why? I get the humble part and all that other stuff. But why? Because what we tend to do is we tend to compare ourselves with others. Look at what they have and what I don't have. Why do they have stuff and I don't have stuff? Why are they happy and I'm not happy? Why does my baby have to be wrapped in cloths and laid in a manger when other babies have so much far better than that? Why did God want his son wrapped in cloths? Why is it that you don't have what others have when you compare? Believe it or not, it made Jesus easy to find. It made it easier to find Jesus because he was wrapped in cloths. Did you listen to Linus? Maybe, because you've heard the word so many times, you don't connect the dots. Let me read to you a little bit of what Linus said in verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Now listen to this next verse. You've never connected these dots, have you? "This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." The baby being wrapped in cloths made it easier for them to find Jesus. Do you know how easy God has made it to find Jesus? Do you know? In all the stress and all the chaos that we have made life out to be, the one thing we want to know is, where is God when we need Him? He's right here. Emmanuel, God with us. That's Christmas. That's what God intended the birth of His Son to be, to make it easy to find Him. And we wonder all the time, "God, where are you? God, where are you?" And He's like, "Have you even opened my book? Have you even talked to a fellow believer and prayed together? Have you taken the steps that are necessary to be holy?" Oh my goodness, guys. The birth of Jesus is so that we can find Him easily. Have you found Him? Or is all the stress and all the chaos and everything else just... God didn't send Jesus to earth so you couldn't find Him when you're stressed out. His goal was not, "Oh, watch this, they'll never find Him." He makes it easy for us to find Him. Christmas, God with us, wrapped in cloths. So this morning for our invitation, if you need to find Him, it is so easy. I don't know what you need Him for. I don't know why you need to find Him. But if you do, it's easy. But I want you to do what you need to just kind of step up, come down as we sing together, and let us help you find Jesus this Christmas. Let's stand together and sing our closing song.
Carol sing to us.
thank you this morning for the gift of your Son. That in the chaos that was the world then and the world today, we tend to just freak out over all the chaos, all the stuff that we think we've got a grip on and we don't. God, heal our hearts, change our minds, our attitudes, to see you in control, you at work, where you need us to be. And I'm glad for a place like here, where it's so easy to find you. Thanks for that gift. Merry Christmas. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.